Yeah, well, welcome everybody, as Chuck's just said here. Thanks, Scott and Barbara. It's always interesting to listen to the Holy Spirit and to just wonder how do we transition? You don't want a jarring where we suddenly stop from one place and move to another place, and we want that flow to take place. So, the real flow will be in your hearts. It's you listening to the Holy Spirit. But as we went back to that last song, "Come, let us return," he will come to us like spring rain. Sometimes we can think that returning is like the prodigal. We're coming from a long way away, but that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes it's just us remembering where to put our focus, where to look. It's turning our gaze back. It's an expectation. It's come, let us return to an expectation. Come, let us return to the hope that we have in Him. And that's where we're going this morning. I want to pick up from last week. Last week, Chuck and I did back to back of 15 minute each, and I felt it's important to talk about hope. And Chuck was talking around trust and the fear of the Lord. So today I want to pick up on that and talk about hope and trust. It seems that this is what the Lord is saying to us right now. It's certainly what's being said around the world and in the countries that many people are talking about being hopeless. And as we look back on last year, last Sunday, we said many wanted to get rid of a horrible year, but the Lord is our hope. And we need to understand what is the hope when people are saying, "I need new hope this year. This is my hope." If the church cannot live in hope, and the church cannot demonstrate hope, and the church cannot give hope, then we are not the church. That's the thought I had and shared with you last week. Before we get into it this week, let's have a story. Haven't had a story for a while. I had to dig back in the archives, not traveling too much at the moment. So I went back to my Navy days. Bruce, you're like this, a sea story. Let's swing the lights. My last couple of years in the Royal Navy, British Navy, I was serving in a little mine hunter. And one of our routes was to go from Edinburgh side of Scotland around to the Glasgow side of Scotland. It's only about 40 miles by road, but it's quite a few days by sea. And you have to go north and then across the top of Scotland and head down south through the Western Islands. And it's a beautiful trip. And if you can imagine, the west coast of Vancouver, the mountains aren't quite so tall in Scotland, but it's a similar scenery. And just picture that beautiful cruise along the northern coast of Scotland to get around to the other side. Unless the weather is bad. And in Scotland and the North Sea, the weather is usually bad. And this one time we were heading around there, and a gale force storm, hurricane storms were coming in, and it was so bad that even the Royal Navy had to run. We had to run for shelter. And in there, along the coast of Scotland, there's all these inlets, they're called sea locks, and there's one there called Loch Arable. We renamed it to Loch Horrible after this experience. But Loch Arable, it's kind of near the western end of that northern coast, and we had to run. The weather was so bad, the ship was bouncing around. A steel ship at sea becomes a helpless cork when the weather gets bad. It's the power of nature is so strong. And we had to run. We had to run for shelter. We went into this lock and went down and around the bend a little bit. And there, it was still rough, but it was calmer. And we were able to stay there. The wind was blowing, but we weren't out in the big, rough seas. And there were three mine hunters on patrol and a support ship with us. And we came in. The only way we could be safe in this lock was when the support ship put down its anchor into the lock. And I've just pressed the wrong button there. We had to drop the anchor, and then the other ships just tied themselves together. And it was interesting, but it wasn't just ropes between the ships. The weather was so bad, we actually put the anchor chains across the forecastle of the ships to hold us together and hold us onto the support ship and hold it down. And we were there like that for 3 days. And now I'm thinking back on it, you know, three days is often significant in stories and parables in the scriptures. But we were there for 3 days, probably better than in the belly of a whale. But it was still a pretty horrific time. But as we were there, now obviously we got out eventually, and I'm here to tell the story, which is always good news. But during that time, you know, we had hope that the storm would end, and we had trust in the anchor chain that was going across the ships. And that was quite an experience that I always remember as one of those times where, you know, it could have been the end. So anyway, I want to talk about hope a little bit more this week. And with that story, you can probably guess where I'm going. But Romans 15:13, I read this last week. I think it's a key verse for this year. Romans 15:13 in the Passion Translation, "Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope." So I think that's a key verse for us. And we're looking to that place where we radiate with hope. But today I want to mainly look into Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. Though there are many great verses of hope in the Bible. And if you're feeling hopeless, just do a quick search on the word hope and read through the scriptures that come up. But we don't have time today to go through them all. Hope in this passage is about that of an anchor, that this anchor goes up into heaven behind the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. He has become our high priest forever. The key verse I'm pulling out today is verse 19. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." So it's not 100% sure who actually wrote the book of Hebrews, which in one way is kind of fun because it's the word of the Lord to the church, and we take it to us. And the context of the writing is to a people who are facing hardship and persecution because of their Christian faith. A few of them were even tempted to abandon Christ and return to Judaism and give up their faith in the Lord. Here the writer is urging them to persevere by putting their focus on the superiority of Jesus and the salvation that he has provided. The writer is trying to instill in them biblical hope, not just a positive, cheerful disposition. You know, sometimes hope can become optimism or wishful thinking. And that's not what scriptural hope is all about. It's a steady attitude of joy based on the promises of God. And that's what the writer here is doing. So let's take a few verses from Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to read 11 to 20. And then we'll just review a few of them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you my many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Wow. I love the scriptures. Just to read them, there's so much life in them, and you don't need me to explain it. I want the Holy Spirit to take those words and speak life into each one of you this morning. Allow that to happen now and restore and strengthen the hope that you have, that it may be the anchor for your soul. But basically, the certain hope of our future salvation is this anchor to steady our souls while we wait on God in present storms. And there's always storms, there's always challenges, there's always persecution, there's always fear going on around us and in us and about our families and our communities and whatever. And perhaps the latest and most prominent one is COVID-19. And everyone is wondering, what do we do? You know, this is a present storm for many people. Sadly, we saw some storms in the US politics last week. And that's a serious storm in people's lives right now. And while we wait on God in these storms, whatever it is going around us, you know, we need this anchor to steady our souls. In the same way as that ship needed the anchor to the support ship and down into the bottom of the seabed to steady us in the storm, we need God's anchor, his hope, the hope of our future salvation. That's what he's talking about here. My certain hope is because of three things that we see in this passage. First one, God's promises have never failed. God's promises have never failed. And in this passage, he just pulls out one example. There's lots of promises through scripture, many fulfilled, many historical, many to come. But there's lots. This one, he said, oh, for example, look at Abraham. The story of Abraham and Sarah and Abraham before he was Abraham and then to Isaac and all the whole story is quite long, but we are generally familiar with it. And in the end, we see God kept his promise for Abraham. God always keeps his promises. Now, maybe his timing isn't quite what our timing wants it to be, but hang in there. Abraham and Sarah were kind of getting a little fidgety. Yeah, I'm about 100 now. This promise needs to come pretty soon, Lord. Look at Sarah. You want Sarah to be a mother? No, his promise is always kept. The second item, God's purpose is unchangeable. Verse 17, we read, God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. And that's what he was building up to explaining in this passage, how God, through Jesus, has given us this hope of salvation and future salvation in him, a presence with him. Also, in verse 18, we read, so that by two unchangeable things, and we'll see in a moment, those two unchangeable things, one is the promise and the other is his oath. By two unchangeable things, they cannot be changed. God's purpose is unchangeable. This points to his purpose to be glorified by sending his son to save a people, the heirs of the promise for his name. Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. Pulling a couple of verses out from a great long passage, but it gives us the idea of God's nature, his character. It's saying that I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. God's purpose is unchangeable. The third reason, the third aspect of us being certain in this hope is found in again in verse 18. But God is incapable of lying. If he says something, it's the truth. It is impossible for God to lie, it says in verse 18. So it is true, and we dare not question him. Jesus is our salvation. God has said it. God has said it. That's what's going to happen. And we can depend on the truth of those things and the truth of the reality of it. So we have these three reasons to believe that the hope of our future salvation is certain, like an anchor in the storm. These are the three. God's promises have never failed him. His purpose is unchangeable, and he is incapable of lying. We can be firm and secure in those three things. However, as if that were not enough, the scripture, this passage we just read, goes on and just lays out a fourth one. And that is his promise, which never fell, he seals it with an oath. Now we've got these two fully unchangeable, secure things in the scripture and in our lives. We have God's promise and we have God's oath. These things make our hope of future salvation, our hope that one day we'll be with him, our hope that he's saved us now and he's walking with us, our hope that we can come and return to him and receive the spring rain that we were singing about. These unchangeable things keep us sure and steadfast. So don't be downhearted. Don't be hopeless. I know it's easy to say, and I know, I can sound optimistic and enthusiastic, in a 30-minute Zoom talk, but in the reality of life, I fully recognize that it is difficult for some of you. I realize that it isn't a bed of roses. I realize that depression is a real thing in our lives, and oppression is a real thing in our lives. And I'm not just saying this because it will magically disappear. So please hear my heart that we need to understand the foundation and the realities of the scripture, even though we walk through many of these real things in our lives. But we need to know the hope, live in hope, especially when everything around us seems hopeless. There's another verse that expresses the reason that we know the reason for our hope. It's in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Well, that'd be great just stopping there. Going on, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So we have hope. We've seen three reasons, four reasons why we have hope, why we can have hope, even in the storm. So now what it's saying in Peter is, let's be prepared to tell people that are saying, oh, it's hopeless, oh, nothing's happening, oh, it's the end. We have a hope, and we need to be prepared to give a reason for that hope. And then I like that the rest of that verse, it's kind of an afterthought. He's saying, oh, yeah, give a reason, speak to the hopeless, say, oh, you're kind of thinking, oh, you're dumb. Of course, it's hopeless, not hopeless. There's real hope in God. But he says, by the way, but do this with gentleness and respect. So it's kind of a nice package of how we live in the Lord. We know a sure and certain hope, and we give reason for it with gentleness and respect, but we're firm in that. One last verse before wrapping it up, and that's Hebrews 11, verse 1. Well-known verse, we all know it, and we all use this verse as a verse about faith, which it is, and I like it for that. It's a definition of what faith is. But let's see what the definition is. Now, faith is a confidence, an assurance, it's certainty. In what? In what we hope for. So faith and hope are tied together. We can't have true faith unless we understand our true hope. So the faith is the confidence in this hope. Now, hope is a broader thing than what we're just talking about this morning, for sure. As I said, there's many scriptures, and we could look at many aspects of hope, which are really important. And I encourage you to do that. But when we're talking about one of the most basic, fundamental, foundational hopes that we have, and that's our salvation and our future place with the Lord, then that's the confidence that allows us to live by faith. Passion says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Or the New Living Translation says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the evidence of things we cannot see. So if in our faith we're not seeing the hope of God's salvation in our lives and our calling and our bringing into his family, if we're not seeing that in our faith, then that is perhaps not our hope. There's a cause and effect. There's a relationship going on here. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. We walk in faith because we have a hope in the Lord. So now we know what we hope for because of the scriptures written to the Hebrews. Therefore, let's radiate with hope, as we saw in Romans 13:15 at the sorry 15:13 at the beginning. And I just want to close now by reading the words of a hymn. You've probably already guessed it if you've been around hymnology for a while. It was written by Priscilla Owens around the early 1900s, and it reflects Hebrews 6, verse 19. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And the refrain is, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers roar and the reef is near? Will the surges rage and the wild winds blow? Shall the angry waves when your bark o'erflow? Will your anchor hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail. Will your anchor hold when your anchor holds within the veil? Will your eyes behold through the morning light the city of gold and the harbor bright? Will your anchor safe by the heavenly shore? Will you anchor safe by the heavenly shore when life's storms are past forevermore? Will your anchor hold? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock. That's with a capital R, the rock, Jesus, our rock, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Amen. Let's pray for a moment, then I'll hand it back to you, Chuck. Father, we thank you that we do have an anchor that holds us strong and sure, steadfast, anchored to the rock of Jesus, the rock of our salvation. And Father, I pray this morning that each of us here gathered together would fully understand the hope that we have in Jesus. And if now is the time for us to remember the words of that song, Come, Let Us Return, if now is the time to let us return to the hope that we have in Jesus, then Lord, I pray we would do that now by the power of your Spirit in us. I pray that our hearts and our minds and our faith and our trust would return to the hope that we have in you. And Lord, as we return to that hope, as we declare and prepare to state the reason for our hope, Lord, I pray that you would refresh us with the spring rains. Lord, I pray for everyone that's here this morning. I pray for each one that's listening. I pray for a refreshing of spring rain now. Lord, come. Holy Spirit, wash upon us all. Refresh us by the power of your love as we stand firm and sure in that love. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, Chuck.